profession in a serious and ethical way. That's what I believe.
And
thank you.
Thank you. No, I think you're very kind to say thanks to me. I think I should be thanking you for your time. Let me give you a very brief introduction of about a minute about myself if we start. Is that okay with you?
Sure.
So I've worked professionally for about 25 years, about 10 years with PepsiCo in various Indian locations. Then for about 5 years in Middle East, where I set up a hair care organization in Egypt, subsequently in Dubai. And then last 10 years with Vodafone, where last 5 were in London, where I was heading their global marketing. And about November, December, I moved to South Africa to look after the African operations on sales and marketing and hopefully see Africa. As you can see, seeing Africa is not happening. So when I started my research about 3 years back at Oxford Brookes, I was in UK, but subsequently moved here. And I'm in the phase of data collection. We're talking to people who have experience of executive coaching and getting to know about their experiences, about their thoughts, about how they're feeling in terms of their work with their clients. So that's the arena. And that's a little brief background where I find myself. I have finished my diploma from Cambridge about 6 years back and my master's from Ashridge and accreditation from Ashridge 3 years back. So that's my brief coaching degrees, and that's where I find myself. Anything else you would like to know?
Well, now you are in South Africa, is that right?
That is correct.
And what you're doing now is a post-graduation in coaching or the effects of the digitalization of coaching on the executive coaching, is that right?
Yes, and I'm now doing my doctoral research. So the post-graduation is completed, where it was a different topic from Ashridge. Now this is the doctoral research.
Wonderful. Okay, good. Yeah. No, thank you. I thought I was very honored to get your invitation to collaborate, because I do believe in coaching strongly, and I believe in serious coaching because there are so many stupid coaching around.
Why don't you tell me what is your, I would like to capture in your words, when you say stupid coaching, what do you mean? Because I agree with you, but I would like to capture in your words.
I have been working with coaching for about 20 years now, and I saw well, I was the first Brazilian coaching trainer to deliver the training in Brazil and in many other countries. Actually, the first training I delivered was in Poland. Mm. And then we started because I was living with my husband in Brazil. So then we started delivering coaching trainings in Brazil. Sorry, this keeps going down. And nobody knew what coaching was back then, in not just in Brazil, but in many other countries. Mm-hmm. So I needed to reserve about 15 minutes after saying what waste work I did to explain what coaching was, because, well, yeah, and people had completely different ideas, or they thought it was a short name of of something else, or they thought it was related to sports. Mm-hmm. Which is true, because the word coach became famous on sports field, but then was transformed completely It's still in America, coach is a sports coach, but in the rest of the world, coach is it's a way of development. It's a way of improving your skills,
mm-hmm.
be the best you can be, help your team to. I like to say that it's leaders creating leaders.
Lovely.
Yeah. Good coaches help leaders to create other leaders, and then and that's what I believe I do. I work with executive coaches with the intention of help them to be the best they can be, so then their team can be the best they can be, and then the company can be the best they can be. So it's obvious, yeah. So it's obvious if you know what you're doing.
Correct.
Yeah. And when I say about stupid coaching, it's because too many people took advantage of the boom of coaching around the world to think about just a mercantilist point of view, to make money. And not really to help people. So they forgot the main reason for coaching. They forgot the person in front of them. They just thought about what that person could give to them financially. And I find it a bit too selfish and nonsense. I think that it loses the whole meaning of coaching. That is to give, to collaborate, to grow through growing others. If this makes any sense.
Totally. You know, like you said, leaders developing, creating leaders. Like you said, remember the person in front of you and helping people. And the reason I wanted to hear from you, because I second your point of view, there are more than enough, and I will now call them stupid coaches. That sounds very impactful around the world. And I think it's part of our duty to keep calling that, just to ensure the practice remains. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Give me a little idea, Andrea, about the work of the last 5 years in terms of clients, countries, geographies, and your own personal work, if that is okay.
Well, the last 5 years, because so many different things happened, especially the last year, let's put it that way. I think I would extend a little bit more than 5 years.
Sure.
I would put 10 years.
Sure.
Because 10 years ago, again, people didn't know what coaching was. They thought they knew, and this was danger. When people think they know, it is danger.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started doing very strong work in Brazil to, first of all, to help businesses to learn what coaching was, and then to be able to apply in a proper way.
True.
Because there was a time in my professional life that executives Sounds like they need to hide their coach under the table because they thought that they had some problem, you know. Oh my God, I need a coach, you know, there's
something is wrong with me.
And it's completely the opposite. The idea of coaching is investing in potentials, in people that has potential to be even better, to grow in the company and to contribute to others, to be the best they can be as well, and produce better results. So when people started realizing that that's the company is not trying to fix them, but is actually investing on them, because coaching is not cheap.
Yes.
If a company is interested and willing to invest in a professional, it means that they believe on it. They believe on that professional. And so it's a prize, it's a recognition. It's not a problem fixing. And that turn of mind changes everything. Now they are all proud of their coaches. Now they say, look, she's my coach.
And showing it off, as we say.
Yeah. What's great, because that's what's coaching is supposed to be about. Never the other way around. Still there are companies, very few, but there are companies that say, come here, I'll give you some coaching. And that's not coaching. That's normally a bad feedback. So it doesn't work. Clearly these people doesn't know what they're talking about. Coaching is to help and not to criticize. Abilities or incapacities or behaviors that can be better, but not in the point or the point of view of judgments, because nobody has the truth. We do what we can to help the others, but I don't own the truth. I cannot know for sure what they are supposed to do. Yeah, we can help them to develop a better strategy. And oh, by the way, I don't know if you're recording that. Can I record?
I think you can. I have made you the host.
No, now I am. Have you been recording so far?
No,
I didn't.
I'm only recording on the audio. So that is a separate machine. I will send you that audio recording.
Oh, thank you. Okay. So where I was...
You're talking about nobody can know the truth. It's only our attempt to help the people.
To discover and to develop their own better strategy. Because when they discover the better strategy, they can apply in any other area of their lives, not just in one area. I don't believe in one specific coaching. Even when I talk about executive coaching, there is no way to separate the executive of the person. Many times we need to talk about something else to help the person to be a better executive, because there's some kind of imbalance in their lives, and that's okay. And they will say, oh, but wait a minute, we are talking about executive coaching, and now I'm talking about my wife. I say, yeah, but the relationship with your wife is influencing, or the bad relationship, let's put it that way, is influencing your performance in the office.
You cannot,
so yes, why not?
You cannot separate the person and the work. You cannot separate.
Sorry?
You cannot separate the person and the work.
Yeah, you can't split people. They are one system, and when we can see them as a whole, then the results are much more fluent and sustainable
and
constant.
And all the words that you use, constant and sustainable, and that's the kind of change you want. So so tell me, Andrea, what is your personal feeling about this whole digitalization of the world around you? Let's start from there.
Well, for me, it didn't make much difference because I tend to work with online coaching. Besides, now the movements now, the only difference I can see for now is because I used to do presential training. Mm-hmm. So I train coaches, yeah, certified coaches, and online coaching. But now, because of the quarantine, I'm doing everything online. And now in my starting my second group of online training with the same material that I used to do presentially with me alive, not just videos, yeah, because I find a little bit odd. I prefer to interact with the participants. And I think that's the next step, honestly.
And when you
and
said
works, and it works. I think the most important thing to say is that it does work, because you don't need to keep touching your clients to do coaching with them. You need to talk with them, and you need to be present, and you need to be there. So when I talk about be there, doesn't mean this presentially, but in presence. Yeah, it's very different. I have been, and I'm sure you do, and most people has been in situations where the person is in front of them, shaking the head, or in any way, and thinking is somewhere else. So when we get the power of being present, this is literally a present, a gift, a presence as a gift. It's the best gift we can give to someone, the gift of presence. And we cannot sell that. There's no price. It's literally a gift. And that's what a good coach can do for a client. And it's not easy.
So
you need a lot of practice, practice and practice and practice, and contact with yourself, to be able to give that, to offer that to the other.
So tell me a little bit more. I'm really interested in this presence that you described, and you obviously had this experience in the physical interaction and you also had this in the virtual interaction. So tell me a little bit more, what does presence mean to you?
Okay, can I give that as a question to you?
Sure.
When was the last time that you were with someone and you felt that this other person was actually there with you, actually there, not just thinking about what they'll do next, or the weekend, or next holiday, or someone else, but actually there for you? Do you remember the last time that this happened to you?
Yeah, I would say some of my discussions with my sister and some of my discussions with my friends, especially in the last 3 months, you know, in the tough times that some of them were going or we were going. And then when we connected, I felt what you just said, that the person was there for me. I think that's the word I would use.
Yes, they were there for you. Yeah. And what's the difference between that and all the other communications or interactions that you had before that?
Most of the other interactions were towards a goal or a result or an action or an outcome. Whereas this was more about understanding and connecting, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And it's about you.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yeah. And when we talk about coaching, it's all about you, about the client. It's not just about the goal and the objective and outside interests. It's about how you can be the best that you can to then, in a second step, create, produce better goals, better results. But in that way around, not goals and then people, but people and then goals.
Mm-hmm.
Does it make sense?
Correct. And I'm just wondering, because some of the other coaches have struggled with this presence, as you call it, in the same manner as it is when two people meet. And, you know, somebody I was talking to, she said that 99.999% of our lives, we have always been physically together when connecting. So this actually is a very new experience for humanity. I was wondering, what do you feel about that?
What's the quarantine?
The non-physical nature of creating presence.
You know what I honestly feel? I feel that people are much more, including myself, much more willing to connect in a much deeper way. Even if you don't know anyone, and I will give you one example.
Please.
I live in England. I still have an apartment in Brazil. And I had plenty of things there that I was not using now, like a refrigerator, the cots that my 15 years old do not use anymore. a lot of stuff.
True.
That I didn't need right now. And one day I contacted someone and I said, could you please make me a favor? Go to my apartment, get all this, and give to the person who needs the most. I never met them. Neither the person that went to collect,
mm-hmm.
or the person that received mm-hmm. the gift. But I felt really good because I feel that by being apart, somehow we get more together. if this makes any sense.
You said being apart, we actually get more together. Did I get that
Make
right?
us get more together, because then we realize the real value of things. That's not just about the best watch that you can have, or the car that you cannot use anymore. It's much more about being a human being and what you can do to others. And coaching is perfect for that, because this is exactly what coaching is about. Being to executives, being to non-executives, being to athletes, being to helping other people, family, friends, and so on, without any interest in receiving something back. Of
And
course, everybody needs money. Everybody needs money.
but not as
Yeah.
much as we think we do. It's much lesser than what we
Not
need.
a, yeah. Yeah. And not as a final goal.
In fact, I'm reminded as I'm speaking, as you're speaking about money, there is enough in this world for everybody's need, but not for everybody's want. And I think that's the point you're making. And the other point you said is money as a medium rather than money as a goal. And a lot of time we forget that. And what about your thoughts on other kinds of digitalization impacting the life of organizations and leaders beyond the video? Because on video, you mentioned that you feel the presence can still be created. But there is also a lot of forces of digitalization working on clients and organizations. And then, do you experience that in your work with people?
Yes, it's still, I find I find that a lot of people is finding difficult in getting motivation without the personal contact. Many people needs that physical contact. And then one thing that I have been experiencing, I have, thank God, I have friends and contacts all over the world, as you do. And what we have been doing, I mean, we need to be creative, right? Always. And what we have been doing to keep ourselves motivated and feel connected, because I think the biggest fear on that digital era, I don't like to say era because it looks like it will last forever, but anyway. In that physical time, in that digital times,
In fact, you said it feels like it'll last forever. It feels like you do not want it to last forever.
I don't want to last forever. I'm Brazilian.
Tell me what does Brazilian feel about the digital when we'll come back to the original question, because it's an interesting point you made.
Brazilian are very social culture, very social culture. There are places, for example, in Brazil, in Rio, for example. It's curious because nobody invites each other to their own houses. They always meet at the beach, at the bar, at the restaurant. So then they meet a lot more people at once, and that sense of communion is much bigger. In São Paulo, for example, every Sunday they close the biggest avenue, that is Avenida Paulista, to the public. So everybody goes there with their bikes, with their kids, with their balls, with their skateboards, and then they're all together, even if they don't talk. But that sense of communion for countries that has that culture or needs is harder in that times. I mean, I just say to myself, I live in England. Here, I cannot get out from my house because English people are very well behaved and respect the rules. and it's terrible. It is terrible because since April, because I was in March when the quarantine started, I was in Brazil delivering a certification mm-hmm. training. I needed to stop on the first after lunch on the first day, because it was exactly on the day that started the quarantine. They said everybody home. So it was a shock. Everybody was saying like it sounds like a nightmare, and it did for me as well, because I needed to come back to my house, and it was almost impossible to get supplies. Because everybody wanted to go home in the same week. So I did manage, mainly, I believe, because I have a British passport.
Yeah.
It helped a lot. And then when I came here, I needed to stay 14 days without contact with my family. In the same house, but living in another bedroom, it was terrible. It was terrible. So many people are going through therapy or coaching or something to figure out what their values are, what's really important for them, what they want to do with their lives when all this, it's over, because it will. I like to believe that it will.
No, it will definitely. And as you said, I come from a same kind of Indian background, which is very social and very communal. So I relate to that. I'm actually interested in, since you so evocatively shared your emotions of it being terrible, missing that connection, wouldn't the same be happening to the connection of a client and a coach?
In which way?
In the way that when they are together, it's a more communal setting. Whereas when they are at a distance, it is a distance. And I'm intrigued by the very powerful point you made, that presence is the best gift that anyone can give to the client. And my mind is trying to figure out, but I'm more interested in what you feel about the presence or the chemistry or the equation between the two situations.
I think, as I said, I since I moved from Brazil to England, 99% of my coaching was online. Doesn't stop me being present.
Did you do anything different to cultivate that presence? Because you were in Brazil and then you moved to England, so you must be doing physical and then you moved to virtual.
When I started working with coaching in Brazil, there was no culture of digital coaching.
Yes.
Yeah. So then I was going there, but to be honest, it's impractical, because you spend so much time and money going from place to place, and sometimes you were delayed or the client is delayed because of the traffic, and you need to find an ideal place that you, where you have privacy to be able to talk about your personal life without any other ears around. So what I like to do, and I find much more productive, is to do coaching with my clients first thing in the morning to the clients before they go to their office, when they go to the office. Now it's a bit different. So they find a place in their house where they have they're comfortable, they have privacy, nobody's listening, and then we are much more comfortable. No problem about traffic, no problem about dressing up, no problem about being late. It's simple.
It works much easier.
It's much better for both of us. It's much more relaxing. We're starting a better place, or from a better place. And my clients love it, actually prefers it. So I prefer as well, because then I don't need to leave my office. I stay here. I have a daughter, I have a cat, I have a dog, I have a husband. I stay here. Of course, I like to go out again. I'm Brazilian. But when I'm working and I'm here.
And it's always lovely to have cats and dogs around and the family around. You know, that's a great... So you said that you did not really feel a challenge of creating the same presence or relationship in the client, either in the earlier setup or in the new. Is that a right articulation?
That's right. I didn't feel, because I was already doing it. Not the training. The training I was doing presential.
Correct.
So the challenge that I felt was to deliver the training, the certification, international certification training. So I train coaches online. But it's going very well. I'm almost about to finish the first group and to start the second group. They're loving it. It involves a lot of creativity, because things that to increase their experience. So I put, I add more things, mm-hmm. and I have one assistant that helps me with that as well when I'm not there. So when I make exercises in groups, and it works really well. And then I get the feedback, and I get the videos. It definitely worked very well. It is a challenge, it's still, but it's working. So I'm happy.
And what are the newer areas you see where technology could help the field of executive coaching, or you see yourself using more technology in the future? Are there any areas which are of interest to you?
Related to executive coaching?
Yeah.
Or and, any other?
And the use of technology in your work.
Well, there is one thing that we are also doing. That's webinars, videos, lives, to keep in contact with people.
Mm-hmm.
Short things, very short, but so people feel connected. Trainings, longer trainings that we are giving, that's based with our latest book, Coaching the Brain. So we're doing that as well. And yeah, that's what's occurred to me right now.
And what are your thoughts on these app-based and artificial-based, intelligence-based coaching that is starting to emerge, where the coach is actually a bot?
Sorry, I can't repeat.
There are these apps which are coming for coaching, where you can go on your computer or a phone, and the coaching is actually done by either artificial intelligence or a bot which is sitting behind the apps. What are your thoughts on that?
I'm not very keen on that. I think coaching is people to people. I don't believe in a set-up questionnaire that will give all the questions and answers to any problem. I saw, actually, many years ago, I was invited to be part of a research that was related to a coaching game. And I thought it didn't work.
And what did you see that made you feel that?
Because it loses completely the connection, the synergy.
Mm-hmm.
Coaching is not automatic. Otherwise, I could write a whole book with plenty of questions, and then every day you go there and read a page and write the answer, and I forget about you.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the center of the coaching? It's the client, not the book, not the app, not the coach itself. It's more like who conducts the coaching is the client.
I was just making the note, as you said, who controls the coaching, the app or the client? That seemed a very pertinent point. So if any new coach is starting, or an executive coach whom you meet, given the forces of changes around the world, given the forces of digital around the world, what would be your 3 or 4 advices to him or her?
Sorry, I don't understand your question.
So if you meet an executive coach in today's day and age, and somebody who's starting work, or somebody who comes to you for advice, looking at the world around and the forces of digital, what would be your advice to him or her in 3 or 4 top headlines or more if you want?
Well, I would say that coaching is always about a tripod. Where you are, where you want to be, and why. That's the value. Yeah. If we go in that sense, of course it's not that simple, but if we go in that sense, first of all, you need to know where you are. Beforehand, you need to know where you are, because what I think was the biggest mistake of many coaches is that they use that Nike philosophy, like, just do it. Yeah. So I don't believe in just do it. First of all, you need to know where you are, where you're coming from, what's your history, but not in justification of, well, why, you know. Learning, what have you been learning in your life that you can use as your backpack of resources, yeah? Then knowing where you are and what are your resources, where do you want to go, what do you want to achieve, and why from all the things that you want to achieve, why do we want to achieve that? And then from there, we can keep going, developing the... Oh, and of course, quarantine, right? It's important. So how can you use the quarantine in the best benefit for yourself? And what do you do? What will you do during the quarantine to get a post-quarantine more productive?
More productive. Getting ready for the new normal, as being said.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Andrea. I am at the end of my questions. Anything you think I should have asked and I did not?
What I could have been doing and I'm not.
So why don't you tell me briefly about that? That would be very nice to know.
Manage my time in a better way, I think. I think the quarantine is difficult because it take yourself from the routine, and then you need to create a new routine. And I don't think I learned yet completely how to manage my time in the best way I can.
And I can say I can relate to that. I think we are all struggling to feel this new time schedule, as you say, because at one hand you feel that given less time wasted in commute, shopping and traveling and eating out, you should be doing a lot more. But on the other side, the emotional, psychological burden of this shared calamity or shared grief is not to be underestimated. And I think we are struggling with it. And when you said that, that was the thought that came to my mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you feel about what I said?
I completely agree with you. I think we're in the same page there.
we are all struggling with it. Thank you so much, Andrea. I am realizing it's almost an hour. And... I can see sun shining in UK, so you have a lovely day. And
you.
I'm
looking forward to receive the recording.
Of course, I will. I think I will be closing to the report by around September of next year. And the moment it is getting ready, I will send it to you. I will also mail you the recording of today. And I heard that pubs are opening in UK today, so...
Yeah, I'm going tomorrow.
Have a good day. Thank you so
very
much. And good wishes to all, everybody.
So, but do you think you'll be able to send the recording before your thesis are done?
Recording I will send you today itself.
Okay.
I will send you the recording.
Wonderful.
Thank you so much.
It was a big pleasure to talk with you.
It was. I thank you for your time. And may the beaches open and we can probably meet in Rio again.
Yeah, the beaches are open. Ah, but it's danger. I would not go.
Not at this time.
Not yet.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Bye. Take care.